Greetings, everyone. It's your girl, Adina, the goddess of magical movement. I am here with the seventh edition or the seventh episode of the third season of the Goddess Technology Podcast. I have an amazing guest today, Rakim Sekou, Carl E. Stevens. I can't wait to get into this conversation. Before we get into this conversation about goddess awakening, crafting your own path in a world of conformity, I have a few special messages for you.
Discover the joy of movement and sisterhood with Belly Dancers of Color Collective. No dance experience? No problem. All bodies are welcome here. Let's heal together. Connect with your sacred feminine essence in a safe space filled with love and support. Join us for belly dance, yoga, and mind, booty, and soul events.
Hi, Goddess. Embark on a sacred journey. Goddess Technology Retreat. Join us August 2nd through the 9th, 2025, for an unforgettable experience designed exclusively for the Divine Feminine. Nestled in the lush, tranquil landscape of Bali, this retreat is your sanctuary, a place to draw within and nourish your soul.
bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali.
Your divine transformation is calling you. Let's go, Goddess. Let's go. Yay! Thank you for taking a moment to watch that. Like I said, I'm your girl, Adina Gittin Smith, the goddess of magical movement, co-founder of Belly Dancers of Color Collective, founder of the Goddess Technology Program and Goddess Technology Podcast. I have the absolute pleasure to welcome to the podcast today, Rakim Sekou. Rakim Sekou, Carl E. Stevens, is an author. He's a metaphysician. He's a father. I have the pleasure of saying he's been a friend of mine for more than 25 years, I'll say. So I'm going to pull Rakim on stage right now, and we're going to talk. Rakim, I got a couple of my favorite books of yours with me today. I got this one and this one.
Oh, yeah. Those are goodies.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for agreeing. Now, we've talked a couple times like this over the years. So it's good to get a refresher and to sit with you. You've been a teacher of mine, not just a friend, but I've learned so much from you. You've been a great teacher of mine. I would say really in these last 10 years, we've deepened into a whole nother level of understanding, expansion, and awareness. So I really do welcome the opportunity to share you with my world.
All right.
Yes. So today we're talking about Goddess Awakening and crafting our own path or your own path in a world of conformity. Before we get into that, I want to talk about little Carl. Like when you were a little boy, I often talk about this when with the ladies and people that I talk to. When you think of little Rakim or little Carl, what prepared him for the path that Rakim Sekou is on today?
Man, that's a great question. There's a lot of different influences in my life. Mm-hmm. In terms of my mother, one thing I really appreciate about her is that she didn't have me in religion. So mm-hmm. she didn't believe in going to church every day and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm really thankful for that. I'm really not that fond of church culture. So besides the belief system and that kind of thing, I'm not really fond of the culture of the church. For me personally, it doesn't come off as an empowered system and an empowered culture. So I really, appreciate her being able to stand in her truth. Obviously, her mother, my grandmother, they were very much into the church and very religious and all that kind of stuff. So that was a big thing. And then my father, who's actually my stepfather, he really turned me on to like the concept of Pan-Africanism and learning about your history and learning about our culture, before the transatlantic slave trade. So that was big for me as well. You know, he turned me on to a book when I was still in high school called Journey of the Songhai People. Hmm. And that kind of started my journey of like self-knowledge, but also like believing in myself and being proud of our heritage as a people. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So those are probably two big things that kind of shaped my path. I ended up getting into metaphysics as a result of, looking into, our history and our culture. So metaphysics was kind of close to African spirituality and had some connections and ties to that. So that was a big deal for me as well. So those are two big factors in my journey.
Thank you for that. That really shed a lot of light. I was picturing you, as little girl back in the day, getting your enlightenment. So Rakim, we've talked, and I call, you have your name up as Rakim Sekou, so I call you Rakim.
Yes, that's a great name.
It's a great name. I love it. It has a flow. It's a melodic to it. But mm-hmm. How do you define feminine freedom, and how do you understand the feminine's need to seek freedom? You and I've had conversations about that, but can you explain that from your perspective, please?
Yeah, feminine freedom. I mean, the first thing is to understand what the feminine is. And once you understand what the feminine is, then you'll understand that freedom is essentially it's an important aspect of feminine expression. So feminine freedom is, what I like to describe it as is it's the ability and the state where, feminine energy expressed, whether it's through, men or women, feels safe, feels protected, feels provided for, and has the ability to move as it needs to move and express as it needs to express in order for it to be able to tap into its magic, So, for women specifically, it's very important that women feel a level of covering and protection, and at the same time be able to have full expression within that cover, within that protection. So that's what feminine freedom is for me. I mean, and that can come out in a lot of different ways. Obviously, it comes out in terms of being able to express the emotions and the feelings you want to express, whether that's through movement or through, communication with other people or whatever it might be. Also, the feminine being able to connect with other people as she sees fit, in whatever way she wants to do that, and do that without judgment. That's a big part of the freedom, And to that point, Adina, you know, feminine freedom, you know, I speak this to my clients, like it takes courage.
I should.
So it's one of those things like, you know, freedom is it's a way of life. It's a way of thinking, just like love is. And, you know, you have to understand, like, no one's really going to give you permission to be free. You have to adopt that mindset, that mentality. And, you know, everyone's going to express it in the way they want to express it. But the point is if you feel that, you know, you can do the things that you need to do for you to be in your authentic self, you know, especially as a woman, then you're basically in your freedom. If you feel that you're being confined or, you know, restricted in some way or oppressed in some way, whether it's by the judgments of your partners or the judgment of your family or society, whatever it is, and you're allowing that judgment to restrict your movement and restrict your expression, then you're not free. You know, and that's probably the critical difference. And that's going to be a journey for a number of women to figure that out.
Thank you for that. I love the clarity. You know, you made it really clear in terms of the bottom line is the courage part. I have been in service to the feminine for many, many years, from doing hair and dance and then all the things that we do in the mystery schools and that kind of thing with goddess technology and, you know, all the other initiations. You and I have been through many, many, many initiations. Mm-hmm. One thing I know for sure, in sitting in groups of women, women judge themselves so harshly, and then they judge each other harshly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when someone is doing something that is quote unquote unsavory, or they will consider to be wrong, there's all kind of judgment around there. And it's that mob, I'm not gonna say mob, but groupthink. You know how when they talked about that when we were in high school, groupthink, you know, you'll get in a group and do stuff with your peers, but it's that kind of that pressure to do something because your girls don't want to, or the herd, you know how the herd moves, that kind of thing. So feminine freedom does require some detachment from the herd to a certain respect. I'm not saying leave your girls, but it's what you're saying is you have to ground in your own understanding of what is for you and what's not for you. And that's where that sacred trust and all those things come into play. So it is a lot of deep self-work to understand what it is you want and then have the courage to get it. It's two different things.
Absolutely.
So, and we didn't say, we jump right into the day. Happy spring equinox. It's springtime. Yay.
Yeah, it came in today, the 20th.
Yes, it's today, what, 5 o'clock in my time, maybe four, your time?
Yeah.
Early in the morning. Okay, so as far as spring equinox, because we, of course, work with nature and that kind of thing, how do you see spring equinox as a symbol for renewal and balance for divine feminine freedom specifically? How can we use that to align with some of this harmony?
Yeah, the spring equinox. So in the system that I teach and coach with, the spring equinox represents the halfway point of the year. And it's really the time for you to check in with yourself and to really understand who you are. So there's a few points that are really good for that. One's the spring equinox, the other is the fall equinox. So spring is like, look, we need to check in with ourselves. We need to understand, you know, who we are. You know, because sometimes you got to take a break from your everyday life and like really ask yourself the questions, okay, as a creator, as a god, as a goddess on the planet, you know, what is it that I'm here to do? What do I desire? What do I feel? What are some of my the things that strike me as my mission? And then giving yourself permission to connect with yourself as a creator, and then giving yourself permission to seek the things that you desire. The things you desire are essentially, they operate as the proof of what it is that you of who you are as a god or goddess on the planet. So the things you desire are going to create a path, which are going to be like mini initiations, or sometimes they're going to be long-term initiations that help you come into your consciousness as a god or goddess being, and to prove that you are, you know, who you have incarnated to be. And so giving yourself permission to want the things that you want, and understanding that you are a god or goddess on the planet. So that's what the spring equinox is for. You're supposed to sit with that energy. You're supposed to sit in that energy. We do it for 4 days, starting on the 19th. And, you know, really take that into our spirit. And then once you come out of that 4-day period, you know, we start to go into a different time of the year where you're going to be more externally expressive. And that's when you're going to actually, you know, make choices and decisions that reflect who you are and what you desire to have in your life. And so the spring equinox is kind of that checkpoint. Because, you know, coming out of the wintertime, you know, those feminine, the feminine phases of the year, those can be really challenging because you go deep into the depths of yourself. You go deep into, you know, the shadow and your history and that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of things that come up for us during those times. And, you know, we're really challenged during those times. And sometimes when you go into that period, you have a hard time coming out of it. You know, there's a movie called Inception, and in one of the parts of the movie, they kind of go into, you know, the, you know, certain parts of their mind. It's almost like going to a trance experience, and you're living a reality inside of that experience, and you can forget that you're inside of that reality, that you actually have another life that you can come out of and come into. And it's similar when you go into the feminine, you know, times of the year. The feminine times of the year are going to bring you into a different aspect of yourself, have you ask questions, challenge certain things, bring up some traumas and that kind of stuff. And then you have to deal with that, but then you've got to come out of it, because when you go into the masculine times of the year, you got to start implementing the things that reflect your life and your dreams and your desires. So yeah, that's the spring equinox. It's a very important time of the year. Hopefully people can take the time to really, you know, touch base with themselves.
Ashe, thank you for all of that. I know in this last feminine cycle has been very powerful for me. All the way up until Monday, I was still finding out different things about myself. Like, I went to this new doctor and they did all the tests, right? All the tests, like the full thing, 19 vials of blood, right?
Wow.
I know, right? What came back is that I'm gluten intolerant. Mm. I'm like, I didn't know that. And so, and it's a genetic marker for my whole family. So in terms of the depths going in and finding out different things about myself, even on that level, that affects my diet, what I'm eating, what I'm becoming, you know, it's been an amazing season just of self-discovery and healing. I told you, you know, different things were shared and just growing and that kind of thing. So yes, I'm excited for the spring though, because winter for me personally is hard, but I'm excited for discovering new ways to even be more healthy in my body. So thank you for that. You mentioned when we first opened about sexuality a little bit, and I want to talk about sacred sexuality and how it can serve as a catalyst for personal transformation and a deeper connection really with the divine feminine essence. Oftentimes folks aren't seeing sex as sacred. You know, it's very debased and just demoralized and that kind of thing, but just understanding it's our human right and how to embrace it, because that's the crux of a lot of this shaming and blaming and all that kind of stuff. So chat about that.
Yeah, in terms of how sexuality can be support the feminine journey and discovery.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, sexuality is one of the most, like you were mentioning, it's in our culture, it's really shamed. You know, it's probably the most shamed thing about our culture is human sexuality. So it's shamed very harshly in religion. Like, religion has done, you know, the amount of damage religion has done to who we are as sexual beings is almost immeasurable. You know what I'm saying? Even if religion disappeared today, it would probably take, you know, 50 generations for us to get out of what religion has done to us as human beings around our sexuality. But yeah, that's one of the initiations, is embracing who you are as a sexual being. When you look at from a metaphysical standpoint and a spiritual standpoint, your sexuality is deeply tied to your spirituality. But the question is, why is that? Why is sexuality? Why do some people say sexuality is tied to spirituality? Because spirituality is about the manipulation and channeling of energy. You know, there's two primary things that we're dealing with this incarnation in three-dimensional reality. One is your consciousness, which, you know, you're perceiving the reality around you and you're tapping into things and you know, creating desires and you're willing your way through life. And the other part is energy. So both of those aspects are like critical for who we are, for our experience. You know, and energy, how does energy manifest? Energy manifests in a number of ways, but one of the ways it manifests is through emotion. So the various emotions you feel basically are symbols of different modalities of energy, okay? And so, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, the way that you manifest your life and create your life, the way that you move through your various initiations of self-discovery is through your awareness, i.e. your consciousness, and your ability to manage and control energy. You understand? So sexuality, what sexuality is one of the most powerful ways that we can, you know, raise and manipulate our energy. And not only can we raise and manipulate our energy, but it also brings forth the concept of community, where you can actually connect with another human being, and through a cooperative, you know, and consensual endeavor, you all can raise each other's energy together. So sexuality also shows you the importance of coming together with, you know, another human being and creating together and, you know, really having a profound experience together. So from a feminine standpoint, again, you have to initiate yourself into embracing your sexuality. You know, one of the biggest issues with us in terms of our society and all the things that happen on a sexual level, especially things that are considered, you know, wrong in our society and stuff like that, a lot of that comes about because of the suppression of sexual energy, because we don't embrace the most powerful force within us. And so one of the things that women can do is you can learn to embrace your sexuality. And that's going to be an individual journey as well, because we all have our own backgrounds and, you know, the things that we've gone through in regards to our sexuality. A lot of it's not so good, especially in terms of how society and our parents and et cetera have, you know, suppressed that and oppressed that within us. But that's where everything starts. You have to become the master of your spirit. You cannot become the master of your spirit without mastering sexuality. You have to embrace it. You know, you have to understand the power that you're unleashing every time you connect sexually, you know, whether it's with yourself, but especially with somebody else. And so that's where, to me, that's where one of the journeys begins. Unfortunately, again, because of the society we live in, a lot of women shy away from that, you know, and because of their past experiences. But it's really where it starts. And I also say that in my journey personally, you know, working with women and clients and stuff, that a lot of women who have had, you know, sexual trauma in their life, whether it be through childhood or teenage years or young adult years, et cetera, they do end up being some of the most powerful women on the planet, not only embracing their own sexuality, but really being able to wield, you know, their power, their spirit, and, you know, tap it into their higher consciousness. And the reason why is because a lot of what people need to understand is that a lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, and I know it's talked about in a very cliche way, but that's really an attempt by your spirit to unlock something deeper and more profound within you. And the same thing is true with when it comes to this, the challenges we had around our sexuality, spiritual challenges, sexual challenges, et cetera. And so if you can understand the lessons that were trying to be taught to you during those experiences, what you're going to do is end up unlocking something very profound within you. And so I will say that although our sexuality has been oppressed in this society, and like I said, generally not a good relationship with sex growing up, I do challenge people to look at some of the things they've gone through and try to understand it on a deeper level. Don't take it personally, but look at, if this were to be a lesson for me, if there was a superpower to be unlocked as a result of what I went through, what could that possibly be? and maybe start there and then go from there?
That's a great way to ask that question, because then it's fun. It's like, ooh, superpowers. You know, how can I find my superpowers? And that's really what it is if we look at it that way, reframing it. I find that in dance, because you talk about religious repression of sexuality and how that has affected us, a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but sometimes people also have the same hangups in dance because, you know, the sensuality of moving your body and that kind of thing. And there were some whose practices didn't allow them to dance. But then we also know there are many practices that are dance. Dance is a prayer for the body. You know, we know that. But for me, as a lifelong dancer, my opening did come through dance, you know, through actually moving my body. I was actually able to be opened into a deeper understanding of the divine feminine and what's possible. But without it, you know, just in, and this is through belly dance specifically, because it focuses on, it's the oldest living art form, which is the feminine imitating nature and moving and playing inside her body. The oldest continuous living art form is belly dance. And so, but the stigma of it in this country, in the West, I'll say, is that it's salacious, or that it's, you know, like pole dancers or strippers. And again, I have nothing against pole dancers or strippers. It's just not the same thing. That's another art form. But people sometimes put us all in the same category, and it's just not. But they all are places where women and anyone, not just women or people in women's bodies, but those who are seeking the connection with the divine feminine, it can be met in your eyes on the dance floor, you know, as you're moving your body and things are happening. So I love what you hear. Thank you. So you touched a little bit on the shame and blame and where that came from. And, you know, we talk about epigenetic shame. So you said 50 could be 50 generations if everything stopped right now for us to clear it. I don't think people really get how powerful genetics play a role in shame and blame and in our consciousness and our understanding of why we act the way we do. You know, I hear a lot of people say things like, oh, well, that's just me. It's like, but what informed me? What are those things? Like, if we start looking at that, maybe that's not you. Maybe that's some stuff that was put on you and you just took the program and went forward with that. So the question is, what are methods to really live more authentically or to start to clear away some of that shame and blame and all of that pain that is blocking people's path to freedom, or people are holding it because they don't even have to do it, whoever they are anymore. Like you said, the program is already running. So how are we exiting this program or this path and charting a path to freedom with these epigenetic markers in our consciousness?
Yeah, I would say you want to be around people and be in programs that promote, you know, your authentic expression. And you want to be around people who are not judgmental. You want to be around people who are, you know, going to talk to you in a very real way about, you know, what they observe. You know, people who are also able to be vulnerable themselves and who are on that same type of journey. So it's really about finding, you know, the right tribes and the right communities and the right information and that kind of stuff. You know, if you're around information that's judgmental of people, like groups of people, like all men do this or all women do that, or, you know, racist tropes or whatever, then, you know, you're on the wrong path in terms of finding your authentic self. Like you said earlier, then you're getting into like groupthink and all that kind of stuff. You know, everybody has their own individual expression. Everybody has their own individual, you know, personal, you know, spirituality and religious path that's just right for them. And you need to understand that, and people can support you in that. But at the end of the day, it's really about what works for you. So really being around folks who are going to be supportive of that. You can also utilize tools that help you just sit with yourself. So, you know, meditation is a great tool for that. You know, just to kind of quiet your mind, quiet the voices around you, quiet all the noise, and see the things that come to you. And when you're in meditative states, you know, learn to listen and honor the things that are coming to you. You know, you don't have to go out and do whatever you hear in meditation, but, you know, allow yourself to honor it in terms of, okay, well, that was what came to me, and I'm going to, you know, write it in my journal, or, you know, take it seriously or whatever, or not just, you know, dismiss it. Because you might get messages that tell you how you can go about living a more authentic life, but it's usually going to come outside of what you're used to and outside of things you're comfortable with. And so, you know, you have to learn to honor your voice. And we all have that inner voice within us. We're all being told all the time, you know, how to make a ton of money. We're being told how to have great relationships. We're being told how to solve a lot of the challenges we have, but we're not used to listening to those voices within us. And so, you know, we end up judging those voices and dismissing them. And that ends up taking away from our, you know, our power and our ability. So that those are the two suggestions, being around, you know, people who really support you and are non-judgmental, and then also getting to things like meditation.
Ashe, I love that. You mentioned tools. And one of my favorite tools that I learned from you was Bagua. I love Bagua. That has helped me so much understand myself and understand the world around me, understand whoever I'm dealing with. I'll pull their Bagua or look at some things or understand nature. It is such a beautiful tool. Oftentimes I talk with Bagua about Bagua with people that I'm here on the show with. And Rakim Sekou literally wrote the book on Bagua astrology, which is a beautiful way to self-science ourselves and give you an archetype, but not just understand yourself, understand the environment and, you know, the cycles and that kind of thing. So can you talk a little bit about folks using a tool like that? And let me give you my Bagua, and I'm sure you already know, I'm visionary mind, devotee spirit, and soldier body. And I know you are visionary mind, conservationist, leader spirit, conservationist body. I did it backwards.
Oh, yeah, other way around.
Okay. Visionary mind, conservationist spirit, leader body.
Yeah.
Got it. So we both have the same mind, and then our vision, not our visionary, our leader and devotee they're like cross, but they're there. That energy is there. So talk about Bagua a little bit as a tool for self-mastery and a tool that can help us really understand who we are. And as you talked about finding out the things that you like and, you know, what your base energy is and how that really is an amazing tool of power.
Yeah. The Bagua system is based on, something I came up with a long time ago, which is called the nine universal laws, which is like, oh, there's basically nine classifications of energy and consciousness in the entire world. And so the Bagua is basically saying, look, if we take our mind and we take our spirit or our emotional body and our physical body and figure out which one of those energies kind of governs each one of those areas, we can know ourselves a lot better. And so the Bagua is based on your date of birth and your sex assigned at birth. And what it's going to tell you is what your dominant tendencies are. So you're going to know how you tend to approach life and approach relationships and, you know, how you tend to think about the world and which emotions that are you're most comfortable with, which emotions you tend to avoid and what you like physically, et cetera. So it kind of breaks that down. The reason why that's important is because oftentimes the challenges that we have are because we're leveraging our strengths too much. Mm. And we're trying to avoid our quote unquote weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So the thing about life is going to hit you all the time with all nine of these energies. Sometimes it'll hit you with some more than others or whatever, different times of the year, or the month or whatever, but you know, you're going to experience all nine. The same way we experience all the seasons every year. You can't avoid summer and winter, no matter where you are. Like, you're going to experience it. That's how life is. And so, you know, one of the things that we've done, you know, in the mystery school and in a lot of my teachings is say, look, let's practice all nine of these energies. Like, let's learn about them. Let's be aware of them, all that kind of stuff, so that we can at least recognize when, you know, life is asking us to bring that energy forward to be successful. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you know what your strengths and weaknesses are, you know what your dominant tendencies are, then you'll be able to exercise the other ones. And you'll also be able to tamp down or taper down, you know, the things that you tend to overly use. You know, sometimes people say, well, this is just who I am. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, that's who you are. But, you know, when you being that way is getting in the way of you achieving certain things in your life, you want to ask yourself, was that just who you are, or are you just leaning on something that feels good and that you're used to? Are you avoiding expressing other aspects of who you are? That kind of thing. You know, a lot of people, they, for example, will avoid leadership positions because they don't want to be, you know, looked at as a person responsible, or will avoid, you know, communicating with their loved ones or whatever, because they don't want to get into a fight or argument or whatever, or be vulnerable. Like, these are all particular skills that really we all have access to, that we're all going to need. And we should recognize and develop those things. You know, your chart's very interesting, Adina, in that, you know, your visionary mind, devotee spirit, and soldier body. And the interesting thing about your chart is that, you know, we have these classifications within a chart. So one is like the feminine, the androgynous, and the masculine. Well, you have a representation in all three of those. You know, the visionary is androgynous, the devotee is feminine, and the soldier is masculine, which means like, hey, you can jump into those energies as you need to jump into those energies. And you also have a representation in the dominant, neutral, and submissive energy classes. You know, the visionary is a dominant archetype, the soldier is neutral, and the devotee is submissive. So you have a very rare placement where you have equal representation across all of those different categories. So the positive about that is that, like I said, you'll be able to jump into those when you need to. The negative about it is, you know, you don't have one particular strength. So, you know, you don't have this thing that you just tend to lean on and leverage in every single, you know, situation.
That's why you said to me yesterday, you all over the place.
I was like, right. You can do anything. It's like the world's your oyster kind of deal. Yes. And so, you know, you've seen people where they just kind of focus on one thing, they do it the same way over and over again. They might have a lot of success as a result of that. But, you know, with you, like, you have all these options, you know, and you're going to be pulled in different directions. You're going to be pulled to be submissive one day and then dominant the next, and neutral, be by yourself another day. Like, you're going to have all those things, you know, at play. So you knowing that, it'll just help you navigate your life.
I tell you, it saved me, because otherwise you just feel like you're going nuts, you know, like, it's like, okay, visionary, calm down. And I told you, I was trying to pull into my leader the other day, and I still have a little piece of tiger's eye with me to just say, okay, come on, I need you to calm down. We're pulling in some other energy so that I can ground in and navigate and not just float and fly. So no, that's amazing. But Bagua astrology, y'all, if you haven't had your Bagua reading or don't know what that is, it's a great way to understand yourself and your loved ones and to really be more personally successful and effective. So I thank you for that. Now, as we talked about breaking from conformity, there are common challenges that a lot of people face. And you mentioned being around people who are judgmental and getting a tribe that is in the same vein that you think you want to go. So once you have your Bagua, you know your energy, and you have some desires or some thoughts or some interests, now it's time to like really employ some of this courage that we talked about before to step out there, because perhaps your old tribe, they, you know, there's no gravitational pull for them to do this because that's not their mission. This is yours, you know? So how would you say that the feminine can really overcome some of these obstacles as it pertains to conformity when they're ready?
Well, yeah. So in terms of your tribe is just there for support. So you can't just stay inside your tribe. Your tribe is where you go, like, to lick your wounds and to be in fellowship and that kind of stuff. At some point, you have to go out into the world and, like, you know, pursue your dreams, pursue your desires. You have to go into other circles, you know, the judgmental circles and stuff like that. And those circles are important, you know, and they're important because you need to be tested to see, well, are you about the life you say you're about? So when someone calls you out on your sexuality or the things you want to do, or your, you know, the goals and dreams you're pursuing, are you going to stand firm in that? Or are you going to buckle and kind of, you know what I'm saying, you know, go with that particular crowd? So you have to step out into the world. At the end of the day, we incarnated into this life so that we can experience life. And the real deal is like, it's, you know, you're going to be challenged, you know, inside relationships, inside family, inside the work that you do, you know, with health, all these things. Like, life is like, okay, like, I want to put you in the real deal. We're not wasting this lifetime. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel everything. I want you to experience everything. I want you to be challenged. I want you to be sad. I want you to be happy. I want you to have success. I want you to have failure. Like, life wants all of that stuff. So you can't avoid, like I told you earlier about avoiding any of the nine energies or the seasons. You can't avoid any of that stuff.
You're getting all of them.
You can't avoid heartbreak. Mm-hmm. You can't avoid any of that. So again, as a woman, you know, my advice is like, look, you have to get out here and actually live your life with the skills and the consciousness that you've been studying and practicing inside your tribe, inside your circles. So you got to go out there and do it. You know, you got to go get into relationships. You got to go, you know, have sex with people that you feel connected with. You have to go try this new business. You have to go, you know what I'm saying, do all these things, do your travel and do whatever it is. You know, go have the hard conversation with your children. Go have the hard conversation with your parents. Like, you got to go do these things. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the key. There is no, you just study or watch videos or stay within your tribe and all that. Like, that's good for support and healing, but it doesn't count. What counts is, you know, you went out there and you challenged, you know, yourself and whatever's out there. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the completion of the initiation.
Yes.
And so, you know, as you learn to utilize, like, one of the things with women is understand, like I said, feminine energy and what it is. And it's really hard to go live your life utilizing feminine energy as a major component for how you navigate things. Because the nature of feminine energy is it's not going to give you an immediate return all the time. You know what I mean? Like, masculine energy gives you immediate return. So if I want to go up and get somebody's money, I can go slap them upside the head and grab their wallet and take off. That's an expression of masculine energy. With feminine energy, where you're attempting to, you know, magnetize things to you're attempting to influence things in a particular way, you know, it's a different modality of living your life. And a lot of times, you know, one of the challenges women have is you're not comfortable, you know, slowing your pace down and having faith in who you are as a feminine being. That takes practice, you know. And also the other thing too is, you know, and what's the big thing for women as well, and a lot of men are going through this, is you can't, you know, a lot of times what's popular now is being in a victim mindset. Mm-hmm. And a victim mindset where, again, you're blaming a whole class or group of people and all that kind of stuff, that takes away your power as a God or goddess being on the planet. That's why we have the progressive love tenets, where we say, you know, there's no shame and there's no blame. There's no victims and there are no villains. There's no copping out of life and there's no dropping out. And the purpose is growth and the benefit is love.
Benefit is love.
Yeah. Yeah, the benefit is love. Like, the reason why you're living this life, the reason why you're challenging yourself, the reason why you're tapping into your power so that you can learn to love yourself as a human and divine being. And from a feminine standpoint, as a feminine being, you want to love feminine energy and the fact that you have access to feminine energy. The only way you're going to love it, though, is you actually go out here and utilize it. Mm-hmm. So fix your relationship using feminine energy. Attract the perfect partner utilizing feminine energy. You know, spread joy and love utilizing feminine energy. When you do that, when you see that happen and you're out of victim mode, like blaming the world for whatever, you know, that happen, you'll begin to love yourself. And the more you love yourself, the more you can get into your power. And it just kind of creates a vortex of energy. And so that's the challenge, is, you know, you have to get out there and actually do it.
I love that. I love what you said about folks just kind of staying in school. You know, you know those folks who just stayed in college for 30 years. You know, I'm gonna take another course. I'm gonna get another degree. I'm gonna go get this. You know, I get that because I do that with my metaphysical studies. Like I'm always in something, learning something, listening to something. So I do that. But the point is, you're doing that to do something. You know, that's part of it. That's not the all of it. You know, it's not just for you inside your head. It's for you in your life. Like, utilize it. Step out and make some of these changes. Walk in those directions. And again, that's the courage you talked about. That's the courage. So thank you. Now, you talked a lot about feminine energy. And as I was listening to you, I'm thinking, people probably really don't know what that is. Like, they think it's looking cute and, you know, maybe being docile or, you know, something like that, some, you know, submissive. They have a very limited view of what feminine energy actually is. One thing I love about you, Rakim, is as the divine masculine, you are one divine masculine who really knows what feminine energy is. You know, you enjoy it, you leverage it, you utilize it, but you don't weaponize it. You know, you harmonize with it. So I'm appreciative of that for you. But give the perspective from you, what is feminine energy for? And you've also, and Rakim has trained many goddesses too. You know, I would say you're a goddess maker, you know, or reminder, a goddess waker. So tell folks what feminine energy is.
Yeah, feminine energy is essentially an expression of energy that draws things to it. That's essentially what it is. There's three primary components to it. The most important component that women need to understand is that that power is a feminine principle. You understand? When we talk about feminine power and the power of this and the power of that, understand the word power and the definition of power. That is a feminine, that belongs to the feminine. So, you know, like, women need to understand, like, when we say tap into your power, we're that word is essentially also saying tap into your femininity. Power is feminine by nature. That's what it is. So power means if I step into a room full of people and everybody turns and looks at me, and then, you know, people make way for me to come through and people bring me drinks and things of that nature. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I made no commands. That's an example of what power is. Right. So, you know, like, you know, women need to have clarity on it. And here's the thing. You know, I see a lot of women teaching about feminine energy and talking about it and a lot of women's movements. And I really appreciate that. It's very important that, you know, that we have women that are out here teaching this stuff in groups and support and all that kind of stuff. But the challenge is that the nature of femininity and feminine energy is that it's not something that's easily understandable or viewed or sensed with the senses. It's mysterious by nature. That's why the masculine doesn't, you know, men today, and we talk about the patriarchy, that doesn't respect feminine energy, because at the end of the day, it's, you can't really see it. It's hard to understand. So certain aspects of it that are identified, like you said, you know, part of feminine energy is symmetry, which is, you can translate symmetry into, you know, looking a particular way. So dressing up, looking beautiful, wearing certain colors and all those types of things. But it's really symmetry. It's really an expression of geometry. So, we, you know, men can see that. People can see that. Oh, you're beautiful and you're turning heads and that kind of stuff. But they don't understand the deeper meaning behind that. And so, you know, what women need to understand and what men need to learn to figure out as well is that, you know, part of feminine energy is its mystery. And it's just, that's what makes it, that's why it has to be a study and a practice. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's the magic.
For the rest of our lives, and for the rest of time, we will be discovering what feminine energy and consciousness actually are.
I say.
It's not meant to be revealed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you know, again, the down part about that, Adina, is that because it is a mystery and because people don't understand the metaphysics behind it, they're going to teach it in an incomplete way or just wrong. Mm-hmm. A lot of the teachings about feminine energy are just wrong. Mm. The good part about it is is one, it's so powerful and healing when you embrace it. Like the reason why I teach about feminine energy is because, first of all, we all have it, whether you're male or female, but I use it all the time. Like I mm-hmm. love utilizing feminine energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people say like, oh, Rakim, you don't really approach and this and that. Like, yeah, I don't need to because I utilize feminine energy. So I allow people to approach me. I allow opportunity to approach me. Mm-hmm. And that's me utilizing feminine energy. I just have a respect for it. And going back to your thing around the Bagua, I have a conservationist spirit, mm-hmm. which means the energy within me is governed by the conservationist. The conservationist governs power. Mm-hmm. She's the feminine archetype. She governs power. She's Kali. Yes. You know what I'm saying? I utilize it naturally. Like I naturally love her. I embrace her. She's one of my favorite archetypes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like I have a kinship to her. Oh, even though I have a leader body, which is the king, mm-hmm. right? From an emotional standpoint and an energetic standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint, I'm governed by Kali, by the conservation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I love her energy and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, you know, trying to explain to everyone why it's important for us to learn about it and embrace it.
Do you feel that men really understand? Well, no, I know they don't, but let me ask this in a different way. How can men embrace more their feminine energy and understand that it's not about sexuality? You know, I think they get all weirded out thinking I'm just going to only be the male archetypes. But again, we always say we're all of them. But you just gave a great example of how you utilize feminine energy as a masculine body person. Like it's power from masculine as well.
Yeah, I really feel it's education, mm-hmm. right? We just don't have education. Right. And, you know, the feminine deities are just, they love the confusion. Because part of the feminine thing is also being a rare breed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's why you have to be initiated into her consciousness, right? So she loves the fact that people are confused about her, even though it's causing mistreatment and a lot of issues. Like, so for example, one of the big things that came out with the Kevin Samuels stuff was like, well, what are women bringing to the table, right? And you have a lot of women trying to figure that out.
Mm. Like men, what? I am the table. What you talking about?
So if you understand feminine energy, then you understand, well, the reason why men built the table in the first place is because feminine energy was the impetus, mm-hmm. you see what I'm saying, to have men do that.
To have a home, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for you know, like I was explaining, it was on my, I have a subscription group on my Facebook and my Instagram. And I was explaining last week about this. There's this meme out there. You might have seen it. And it's an apartment, a studio apartment. And there's a TV on the floor and an air mattress and like maybe one other little item in there. And the tab said, women get offended by how little men need. Right? Uh-huh. So like no furniture, no pictures on the wall, none of that stuff. And I use that as an example of my Facebook Live for my subscription group. And I said, well, that's explains everything. Mm-hmm. Because if you leave it to just men and masculine energy, although they won't admit this, if you leave it to just men, we'd still be living in the forest. we would not have the motivation and the impetus mm-hmm. to be building the things that we're building. Men think they built cities because they wanted to build cities. Men think they discover technology because they want to discover technology. No, you did these things because you were motivated and inspired and desirous of appeasing and pleasing the goddess. Now, because men are not aware of this, and Freud, the famous Sigmund Freud, the famous psychologist, considered, I think, the godfather of psychiatry and psychology, he alluded to this. he tried to say that the technology that we see and the cities that we see are really a result of pent up sexual energy. But the reality is what it is it's the goddess. Mm-hmm. I said this on my live too. There's an AT&T commercial from about 15 years ago. You can look it up on YouTube. Type in AT&T commercial, I want more, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll be a little girl in class and the guy saying, well, you know, the teacher's saying, well, what do you want? And she's like, I don't know. I want more. I just want more. I want more. Like that's feminine energy saying, look, there's more to be had. We don't have to settle for what we're seeing, what we're experiencing. There's more to be had out there. And so, again, the issue right now is the ignorance in society about what femininity is, what masculinity is, and the fact that we don't even acknowledge androgyny, you know, except for like little weird circumstances. And until we understand that, until we're educated on that stuff, life's going to be really challenging. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know what's coming at you. You're not going to understand yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand the masculine, the feminine, and the androgynous parts of yourself, then you're lost. If you don't understand, you have a mind which thinks one way, a spirit or emotional connection, you know, thing that feels one way in a physical body, and those three things are independent, although interdependent, then you're not going to understand. Just like you said earlier, like, you know, with your situation, like, I want to do this, I'm going to do that. Yeah, your mind wants to do this, and your spirit wants to do that, and your body feels this. And so those, it's a community. You've got to learn to integrate those energies. Gosh. So it's about education. At some point, we got to learn these things. But, you know, you have to want to learn. Mm-hmm. Initiation starts with you saying to yourself, I want more. Mm-hmm. And there's always more to learn. There's always more to discover. You always have more power. You've got more potential. That's a constant in the universe. Mm-hmm. You never reach your potential. You see what I'm saying? You can always do more. However, you can reach the potential that you were meant to reach this lifetime.
I say.
Want to ask the question, how can I be better? How can I be more? What more is there for me to know? And then the universe is going to bring those lessons to you. That's why I told you earlier, don't ignore the thoughts that come to you. Mm-hmm. The universe might say, hey, you know, go to the cafe today at 12 o'clock. You're like, oh, whatever. I got other things to do. Not knowing that maybe your teacher was going to be there. Your next teacher or your next business partner or your husband or your wife. Like, we're ignoring who we are.
The voices. The messages. That's
absolutely.
That's right. Wow. That's a lot, Rakim. Thank you.
Now,
I'm thinking about, and we're coming to the close pretty soon here, but a couple more questions, and then we gotta dance at the end, Rakim.
All right.
Yeah, something in energy. But I know you counsel couples, and you've done that for years. And recently, we talked about universal divorce and the tenets of that. And as I think about the community, Progressive Love Academy, and Psalms, and all, and Divorce Proof Club, and all the work that you do to help couples stay together, and then sometimes couples come apart. I want to talk about the tenets of universal divorce, how you see that in sync and harmony with renewal and freedom and all of that, and just really help me understand how that works.
Yeah, so universal divorce is a concept that we created. Kenya, my wife of 30 years, created. And it's basically saying that there's a concept of, you have to understand, everything is not forever meant to be forever. And that's a tough concept for us to accept, especially when it comes to relationships and, you know, family. Like, it's just a universal thing. Like, we're not always going to be here on mm-hmm. the planet, and everything mm-hmm. that we create and involve ourselves in is not necessarily going to be permanent either, right? Mm-hmm. Universal divorce is the concept of saying, look, when a thing has lived its required life and done what it's supposed to do, there's going to be signs of, okay, now it's time for you to move on to something different. So, you know, I just recently came out of a major relationship, you know, and mm-hmm. I label that as a universal divorce. Now, again, you got to be careful with that. It's very challenging to label something universal divorce, like, oh, it was meant to end or whatever. So I'm not going to say it's necessarily easy to know, but one of the ways you can know that it's universal divorce is you say, well, look, am I seeing signs that, you know, what we created together is has changed profoundly and is no longer in sync or is coming to an end? Are we seeing those signs? Right? Are we seeing signs that we're not, you know, connecting mentally and spiritually? Are we seeing signs we're not connecting sexually? Are we seeing signs that, you know, we want new things, right? So you can look at what's happening, you know, and try to assess it, right? And then you're saying, well, has anything profound come out of this situation that if I were to leave it today, I could say, man, like I really am on my path in a way that I couldn't even imagine I would have been, right? And so with my situation, I looked at her situation, I'm like, in my opinion, my judgment, right? I'm like, man, she's really on this. She's found like her path, mm-hmm. her passion. As compared to when I first was in a relationship with her, it's like, no, you know, she was learning and different things and transitioning from a thing or whatever. But I could look at her life now, you know, at the end of our relationship and say, she's really in a place where she's found her path.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Without question. So mm-hmm. even if I were to, not just if we were to like not be together, but even if I were like to die or whatever, you see what I'm saying? Like, would she be on her path? In my opinion, the answer is yes. And then I ask myself the same question. Like, if I'm not in this situation anymore, have I been exposed to some revelation or something in my life that would say, yeah, this is where you need to be and you're heading there? And the answer is yes, then that's the clue. The last thing I'll say about it is the question is, was the union the primary reason for us having those realizations or being on our new path? So I can look at my situation and hers and say, yes, her contributions to my life is what allowed me to be where I'm going. And my contributions to her life can, you know, are the reason why she's, you know, where she's going. So that's the concept of universal divorce, which is like, look, things come to an end. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean people aren't going to be pissed and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's just human nature. But at the end of the day, as a spiritual being, as God and Goddess beings, like facing that reality, then that's just, you know, that's the reality you have to understand. Mm-hmm. As opposed to dragging things along, you see what I'm saying, mm-hmm. for years or decades and stuff like that, and not realizing that, you know, oh, the purpose of this relationship has been served. And I can move on. Now, again, it's a dangerous thing. Sometimes people throw stuff away before they learn a lesson. And you know that because you find yourself right back in a similar situation with the next person or whatever. You don't feel the fulfilled or the upgrade in terms of what you're actually manifesting in your life. So you got to be careful with that. A lot of people throw things away, say it was time. No, most people who throw their relationship away, it was not time. You didn't do the work, X, Y, and Z. So it's you have to really meditate on it and really be in touch with yourself to know the difference.
Ashe, thank you for sharing that. Wow. Okay. That gives folks something to look at. And I love how you talked about, you know, looking at the markers and seeing what was produced out of the situation. Like, we made a product, we did this, and, you know, and you're going in a path. So that's amazing. Yeah. Now, last question, and then we're going to bust a couple moves and then we're out of here. What do you think is the best way for the divine masculine to support the divine feminine in her charting her own path out of conformity? I know a lot, like the Kevin Samuel types, that's the last thing they want to do. But progressive men like yourself, men who love women and love women to really be in their power, what's the best thing for them to do? How can they help?
Yeah, that's great. I think learning about masculinity is great, because mm-hmm. if you understand masculinity, you understand the importance and benefit of true feminine energy in your life and feminine consciousness. So, like I said earlier, like feminine without the masculine and masculine without the feminine is like, it's just like nothing. You see what I'm saying? Like, these are batteries. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so studying masculine energy. And when you study masculine energy, you realize, you know what? In order for me to really maximize myself this lifetime, I need a feminine component that's really going to complement my particular mission. Same thing with women. Like, you don't understand. Like, you need the masculine as a what we call battery inside Progressive Love to really support you in going to the heights. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with these rockets when you go in outer space. It's like you have the space attached to a booster. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it's not that you need it for your identity. It just helps you. It's like sex. Like, yeah, you can masturbate and that's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? But it's no comparison to a powerful sexual partner that you all are in sync and you create this battery and this circuit. Mm-hmm. It's no comparison. If you want to learn about masculine energy, the more you learn about that, the more you're going to respect feminine. You got to study feminine energy, right? Mm-hmm. Those are two book things you need to do as men. Active things you need to do as men, and every man on the planet needs to do this. You must forgive your mother.
I say.
We're all angry at our mothers. Now, why are we angry at our mothers? Like, she fed us and birthed us and did all these things. It's not anything about what she did. It's not personal. Like, she might have done some things, but it's not even about that. It's that you're naturally going to be angry at her because she had to protect you. And she had to do certain things that were going to hold your masculinity back, and you're going to blame her. You're going to feel a sense of blaming, you know, within you. You have to go ahead and let that out. And the reason why I'm saying all men have to do that is because in our culture, especially, not only are you going to have that feeling of the blame thing, but we're not given permission to talk to our mothers and express to them how we really feel, especially mm-hmm. as a young child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mom, you know, what you did was fucked up. Like, and because she's not in her spirituality, she doesn't understand that little children and young boys need to be able to express that, and young girls need to be able to express their feelings and not mm-hmm. take it personally. Like, every human being feels they were betrayed by the people around them. Mother, father, aunts, in some way, shape, or form, and at some time or whatever.
Siblings, yeah. Yes,
whatever. It's just, it's human to feel that way, but we have mm-hmm. to be able to express it. So if I'm not able to tell my mother that, you know, how I feel about her, or how I felt about things she did, then I'm suppressing that energy. I'm going to end up projecting that on every woman I date going forward. Because women are like, I don't understand, why are these men so angry? They're angry at their mothers and they're going to project it on you until the end of time. And if mm-hmm. they don't get the healing, then there's going to be no improvement. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, Kenya, she channeled a ritual for me about 15 years ago, where I had to go through a process where I had to deal with my mother.
Mm.
I had to get on the phone. It was the whole thing. I had to do this spiritual bath and all this stuff, but I had to talk to my mother and tell her things I did not like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
She just listened. She was able to hold space.
She was able to hold space, and that was part of the healing for me. I didn't think she'd be able to hold space for it.
Yeah.
When Kenneth told me the ritual, I was like, you must have lost your mind. you can't express these things to your mother. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because that's forbidden, especially in the African-American community. That's forbidden. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So when my mother was able to hold space for me, like, that felt so fucking amazing. It improved our relationship so much.
Wow.
You know, so we could talk about all these things, and I understood her better. She understood me better. So I had to do that for weeks, if not months. I forget how long I did. Like, every week mm-hmm. I had to have these conversations. So that you, if as a man, if you don't do that work, then you can forget it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's hard to express to people who are outside of spiritual culture or don't have this metaphysical background, because you don't know that you're holding on to it.
Right, you're in denial. You're like, I'm fine. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, whatever. You know, let me go make this money. Let me go do this. And then your relationships are crap at home.
Yeah.
You know, you're going intimate too early. You're going gray too early. Your health is deteriorating because you're holding energy that's going to literally destroy you from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this work is important. You know what I'm saying? You talk about what we need to do for our communities. You know, doing that kind of work, like men doing that kind of work. And then women have their own separate kind of work to do. Like, that, this stuff is critical. Nothing's mm-hmm. going to change without it. You can't just come together like, let's come together as community. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Let's pull money and shop together. No, it's not going to
it's
work.
It's not even about that. Yeah, it's not even about
men
that.
Men don't trust women. Women mm-hmm. don't trust men. And it's got nothing to do with what men and women are doing today. It's got everything to do with your childhood.
Mm-hmm. We had a, and this is Belly Dancers of Color, had a Honoring the Divine Feminine, and it was hosted by the Divine Masculine. There was a brother who had been at our Honoring the Divine Masculine, a ceremony ritual that we've done for the last 8 years, and he was so moved by that. He organized the brothers to bring that back to us. It was so beautiful. And in this ritual, we had public apologies. Folks got up and apologized to themselves, to their mates, to their mothers, to their fathers, to their children, to their future husbands. You know, it was so healing. People cry, people dance, people sing. But like you said, these things are helping on a deep level. So thank you for saying that, because that just goes to show that we have to get back to trusting and really loving each other, because the benefit is love. We're doing all of this because we love each other. We got to get back to the benefit. So that being said, the benefit of love, we can rate dance, baby. Just get up and just move however you want. We got a free dance for 30 seconds, okay?
All right, free don't dance.
Free dance, whatever you want to do. Don't leave me out here by myself now.
Put on a good one now. I want to hit now. I want to
hear that.
All right.
We got some feminine energy on today.
All right.
Yes. Rakim, I love and appreciate you. Tell the people how they can reach you, what you got coming up next. Are you on any more reality shows? Can they join your subscription? Like, what is going on? How can they reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me by email, rakimseku@gmail.com. That's rakhemseku at gmail. Any questions you got, all that kind of stuff, just hit me up. Go to my Instagram, Carl E. Stevens Jr. on Instagram, and click the link in my bio. You can see some of the courses and coaching certifications that I have. As a matter of fact, one of them I'm doing right now, get ready to do I2 Tantra again. So I'll be facilitating that and teaching that, and also Kingdom Cypher, which is a initiation for men. So I'll be doing that in the next few weeks as well. So come check me out. Hit me on Instagram. Hit me on my email. And let's get some work going on.
Thank you, Rakim. And I am honored to be in your coaching certification program. I certified Feminine Power Coach through Progressive Love Academy. I certified Bagua Astrology through Progressive Love Academy, Body Bliss, just a whole gamut of things. So I'm here to tell you it's an amazing experience. If you want to deepen into all of the things we talked about, Rich is really deepening into yourself. Check him out, y'all. Check him out. Change your life, change the world. Ashe, thank you. I love and thank appreciate you. See my train, Namaha. Let's see. Ending it. Okay,